this time. Amen.
Amen.
If you have a copy of the Word, you may stand and enjoy the reading of the Word with me.
Yes.
Amen. But take a look in the Psalms, which we call the Psalter, the great book of collection of songs sang in Israel in honor of God the Most High. A book is a combination of five books. They make up the 150 Psalms that we call the Psalter. Amen. Just like to mention that. You don't have to remember that for the tests. Amen. But it is a book of a collection of songs that were sang in honor of the Most High God. Amen. Today we're going to look in Psalms 25 at a few verses, from verses 8 down to 14. And then in the New Testament, if you want to stick in a bookmark, if you have a copy of our syllabus, you won't need to. But if you don't, go to 1 John and put in a pen at chapter number 1. That's Little John, we like to call it, in the back, kind of back by the book of Revelation. Little John, 1 John chapter number 1, starting in verse 4 down to about verse 10. So let's read Psalms number 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? He shall teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen. Selected verses from Psalms 25 from the Old Testament, and now from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Let's read. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is 1 John chapter number 1, verses 4 through 10. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord in the sanctuary. Amen. And we're going to talk just for a minute about the topic of safety inside of the promises of the King. Safety inside of the promises of the King. Amen. We have a lot of things that we have been talking about in recent days, and some of you may or may not have been with us. But we've been talking about the pattern of walking in the light and what that means. What does it mean to walk in the light? Sometimes when you're walking in the light, we said that there are things that we have to come to learn about God. Now, some of you know, some of you who may have been from the old school, and I don't know, some of y'all might be from the new school, as they like to say here. But have you thought about the times when there was something you needed? And your mother, who had more wisdom than you, or your father, whoever your caretaker may have been when you were being brought up, knew that you had need of this thing. For example, let's say you had some kind of a cold or sickness, and they may have went to the medicine cabinet and got a bottle of castor oil and bought that castor oil in. And you, when you see it coming, if you ever had it, you know what's up. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, you may even try to get away, but they say, no, 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 come here. And they make you take it, right? And then they stand there and watch you to make sure you don't spit it out. Or they hold your nose and stick the spoon in your mouth because you're going to take this. Or some 3/6. How many of y'all had to take some 3/6? Sometimes you have to take some medicine, and the parents know this is going to help you. You're going to have some trouble tasting it and getting through with it, but you need it. So I'm going to make sure you get this, whatever it takes. We think, oh, you're trying to kill me with that stuff, you know. And that's how you feel when you get this stuck down your throat, then they shut your mouth and make you swallow it. But there's stuff like that. You know the kid needs it. You're not, the mother's not trying to hurt you. Not trying to put something on you you can't handle. We just know that when you get through with this, in a little while, you're going to feel better.
Right.
It's going to make you feel better. You're going to stop being grumpy. You're going to get back like you should be. And so you got to take the medicine.
Amen.
Sometimes it's like that in the Christian faith. We study words from God, but we don't get with the program sometimes. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about somebody at another church on across town. Y'all got quiet in the room. This is over at XYZ Church. It's not in here. But sometimes there's things that we have to learn. God knows we need it.
Amen.
And so because of his parental love, the fact that he loves us exactly like we are, that's a hard one. Sometimes people don't get past that. It's hard for me to understand that God would love me exactly like I am.
Yeah.
See, people always think about the church. They say, well, you know, when I get myself together, I'm going to go join the church.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, you will not get yourself together until you get in the church. You need to come in. God accepts you just like you are. There's no reason why he won't take you. He's been waiting on you to come in. He loves you just like you are. And he knows that I'm going to give you what you need to get you together. You may not know what you need, but God does.
Amen.
And I take you just like you are. You don't have to change a thing. I love you right now.
Amen.
And I'm going to bless you right now. I already gave my son for you before you were even walking on the ground, before you came into the world.
Yeah.
And so I got a blessing for you, and I want you to get with it so that I can teach you how to be in the safety of my promises. God has promised that whosoever believes in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Very simple. God is not complicated. He is not trying to make anything complicated or difficult for us. He's very, very basic and to the point. The one that wants it to be complicated is the devil. And the world wants it to be complicated. They want it to be about what you do and what you did and all of that. But you know what? If everybody had to stand up on the basis of what have you done right, guess how many people would be in trouble? All of them. That's right. There wouldn't be one soul who could get up on judgment day and say, God, you know, I did everything perfectly. Only one person would be able to get up and make that claim and not be lying. That would be Jesus. Amen. So God gave him, the only one who is right, the only one who could get by on his own merits, he gave him and allowed him to be crucified for people like us.
That's right.
See? Because he knew we didn't have a chance.
Right.
Without him, we couldn't do anything.
That's right.
None of us could be right. Not just in this room, but in all of time. From the days of Adam on clear to the last soul is born into the world. We don't know when that'll be. But God knew, being fallen human beings, we have a problem.
Yes.
And the only way they can be fixed, I have to fix them. And so God gave his son. That's what you hear all the time. The most famous verse in the scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means anybody hearing this message, whosoever believes in him should not perish. That means to go to hell. To be separated from God forever. You should not perish, but you shall have everlasting life. That means to ever be in the presence with the Lord. That's what the psalmist was talking about when he said that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he knew my destination is with God. Because why? The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He knew that. David knew that right well. It wasn't because David was all that in a bag of chips. It was because God loved him and gave and had a relationship with David. So David knew that he is my shepherd. Now what does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads and guides the sheep. That's his purpose, to protect the sheep. To look over them, to watch over them, to keep predators away from them. You see, to bring them back. If they get lost, he goes out, gets them, brings them back into the fold. See, and so that's what he does. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. Now, that's difficult for us to get and wrap our mind around it. But I want you to see here, the psalmist knew all about it. The psalmist here says in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord.
Yes.
Now, therefore, because he is good and he is upright, he will teach sinners in the way. In other words, he will teach us what we need to know. because of his goodness. The meek will he guide. Meekness means people who understand their situation, and they have been given power by God, and they have it. They don't go around boasting and arrogant and proud about who they are. They walk in a way of humility. They know that only because of his mercy am I not consumed. Like the writer of Lamentations, we believe is Jeremiah, said, only by the Lord's mercies are we not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. You see what I mean? They give God all the credit for everything in their life that's good. See? And so the meek will he guide in judgment. In other words, he'll teach you how to figure things out. And the meek will he teach his way. See, God has always needed to teach us.
Right.
We don't know what we need to know along the way all the time.
That's right.
Sometimes we may not know it all. See, you might run into dark times. Why am I going through dark times? We were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
And God wants to put light into your life to let you know that he has a way for you. No matter how dark the times are you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, I love you just like it. I know what you're going through. And I am your guide. I'm your shepherd. I'm going to lead you out of a dark time. I'm going to show you how to get into the blessings. I'm going to take you beside the rivers of waters. I'm going to graze you in fields and pastures, as he said, green pastures.
Yes.
See, even though I might be going through the valley of the shadow of death on my way, he said that you are with me. God goes with us through dark times and troublous times in life.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to know that he's right there, no matter how dark things are in my life,
yes,
no matter how difficult it may be.
Yes,
he said, I'll be with you in trouble. I will be with you. I will lead you and guide you to all truth. So when you know the Lord, when you accept him, you know what? He wants to know you. Mm-hmm. He loves you just like you are.
Yes.
He's plotting a course for you. He's already done that. See, and he's revealing it to us day by day. The good thing with God is it says that the meek will he teach his way. He will lead you and instruct you day by day. His word is a lamp to my feet. Remember this, the same psalmist says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We were talking about that dark light thing last week. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. In other words, I'll show you how to walk through the darkness. I'll get you from where you are to where you need to be.
Yes.
See? Because my word is going to lead you and guide you. So that's why he says this here, that I will teach those sinners, people who sin. He knows we have an issue with sin. He understands that. Doesn't mean it's okay, but he knows I'm going to bring you out of it.
Well, yes, he will.
I will teach sinners in the way. See that? And the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. We have that song, Show Me Your Way, Lord, we like to sing. Because God will show you his way. He'll show you how to get through the dark times that you're dealing with. And he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, the psalmist says, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, what is the covenant of the Lord? These are promises that God has made. They're universal promises. God wants everyone to trust him and believe him. There's no reason why anyone should not trust him and believe him. The devil likes to keep confusion about who God is and how God is going on in the world. But God wants you to know the simplicity of the fact that I love you. I'm not trying to confuse you.
Yes.
I know you, what you know and what you don't. I want to teach you how to do things my way so that you can find the right way. And it may not necessarily be easy, but whatever it is, he has also made a covenant. That means I promise.
That's right.
That I will be with you in trouble. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to be with you. Well, that's a good thing for me to know. I used to think about it when I had people that would bully me when I was going to school. And I thought about my brother. He's a big old dude. You know, if y'all know him, you know he's like really super pretty good. So y'all look at me and say, boy, he must be really something. You know. But we always joke with people. We tell everybody that he tells them that I'm his. He says, this is my oldest brother and I'm his oldest brother. And they say, well, how can that be? And it's true because he's older than me. You know, but I'm the oldest brother he has, so I'm his oldest brother, even though he's young, he's older than me. There's no other brothers in between me and him. So that's a joke, a personal joke. We say, they look like, how can you be his oldest brother and he's your oldest brother? It doesn't seem like it makes sense. Either case, when folk knew he was my brother, once I went to school, they saw him, they said, well, we're going to leave you alone. So if you bring him, boy, that's it. It's a done deal. Like bringing Goliath down to the school, you know. And so I got a lot of mercy because of that. Well, that's the way it is with the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, I'm with you to protect you. I'm going to lead you and guide you. Doesn't mean you won't necessarily go through trouble, but does mean you have an advocate. You got somebody on your side.
Yeah.
You got the Most High God. He loves you just like you already knows what you're going through. And he promises you. He makes promises. The promises of God are where you have to get your strength. Because you know he promised that I will never leave you, for example, nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. He didn't say I'm going to stop the trouble. When you go through the trouble, I'm going to be with you. See? And you know what? Daniel didn't get out of the lion's den until the trouble was past. The next day, they set a time limit. God was with him in the lion's den. So it didn't make no difference. The lions didn't hurt him. He got out. Then as soon as they came to open the door to let him out to see was he dead, really, they were checking. Well, I know he gone now. He'd have been in there with them all night. The lions was over there asleep. Daniel was asleep. And then as soon as Daniel came out, the king cried out. He didn't get no sleep. The king was up all night. Y'all know how that story went. And he told him, sent him early as soon as the time had passed. Open that stone so we can see what's up with Daniel. Daniel said, I'm good. He came out. The people who went in to try to get him out, the lions consumed them and ripped them to pieces. You see what I'm saying? So don't worry about it. What you're going through, don't worry about it. Trust God. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, the Hebrew boys went through the fire. We mention these all the time. These are stories the Bible gives us. David had a lot of trouble through his life. Abraham, all the people of God, the people of faith that we saw, they didn't have trouble-free lives, but God was with them, no matter what they went through. That's why it says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. See, why? Because I'm called by your name. I call myself a Christian. You call me a Christian. So protect me for your name's sake. Don't let me go too far astray. So they'll have occasion to talk about the Lord. You see what I'm saying? The man, he says here, what man is he that feareth the Lord? He shall teach him in the way that he shall choose. Don't you like all the times it says that the Lord is teaching you? Have you noticed it? It's a common theme here. He's teaching. And I'm with you. I'm leading and I'm guiding. See, I'm showing you how to go.
My Lord.
People are going to attack you. You know what, folk who don't believe become attackers of people who do.
Amen.
You may have been in that camp too when you didn't believe. If you think back, some of us know how we used to be toward church folk. Well, church folk, sometimes we have a problem with. Some church folk probably, or maybe they just church folk. Maybe they're not saved. But you have to learn how to stand on your own and stand with the Lord. Notice what it says here. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, now he's talking about your children, shall inherit the earth.
Yes.
See, God says, I got a promise for you and your children.
Wow.
I'm going to bless you to 1,000 generations, one verse says. See, so I like that. I need that because my kids need help. I don't know about y'all. Y'all might have some pristine children that are doing all good and well and everything's good with them, but my kids need help. And so I'm glad that it says that it will be to my seed. Also here, because they need help. Sometimes they get hung up in things here. They shall inherit the earth. Now notice this. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. See, that's a wonderful thing. The secret of the Lord. There are some things, as we mentioned last week, that are things that take supernatural understanding. You can't understand it on your own. It may not make any sense to you at all. There's still some stuff I'm reading the word. I'm going, okay, Lord, I don't quite get this. Y'all said, what, you're the preacher and you don't understand? Yep, that's true. I don't quite get this, Lord. I don't fully understand what that means. You know what happens? God continues to instruct you. He teaches you. He'll show you something over here that explains something you didn't understand over there.
Amen.
And he will do that. And what, you know what he's really after is fellowship.
Amen.
I want you to ask me. I want you to come to me and talk to me. I want you to know I'm here for you. I'm a very present help in the time of need. I want you to know, even though you don't know, I already promise you, you're good. I got your back. Whether you understand or you don't. See, so many times we saw in the New Testament the disciples came, they didn't understand the situation they were going through. One time they woke Jesus up, he was asleep. Remember that? Yeah. They said, "What? Get up, don't you know that if we were perishing, there's a storm out here." You know, and they were worried. And I imagine Jesus got up, wiped his eyes, said, "Peace, be still." And the storm went. Wow. And they said, "Whoa, boy, now we're scared of you. More scared of you than we was that storm. Because he got what you're bothering me for. This boat can't go down. I'm the Lord up in here with you."
That's right.
See, you don't have to worry about it. Whatever you're going through that seems like it's insurmountable, God says, "I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm going to take you through the trouble. You don't have to worry about it." And so things like that, we can show you multiple examples where people were fearful. God had told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times. You're up here boasting about how much you know me. Lord, I don't care what they do. I got your back, Lord. I'm with you. I'm a beater." And he pulled out his sword. "So let me show you what I do with this sword." And just start chopping folks' ear off. And, you know, and I think he was trying to chop heads. The dude probably ducked and he chopped his ear. You see what I mean? Jesus put the ear back, told him, "Put the sword away, Simon." He said, "I'm going to show you. I got you, Lord. I'm going to cut them all up." You see, Jesus told him, "No, this is not time for that. Put your sword away. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." See, and then you know what happened? Peter thought he was all that. He said, "Simon, Simon, don't you know that Satan has sought to have you that he might sift you like wheat? So you think you're all that? Wait till tonight when this trouble comes on me. When you see me going in submission to these people." Why? Because I came out of eternity to give my life as a ransom for your sin. I've been telling you that, but you don't get it. So you're going to find out later on tonight. That when the heat gets turned up on you, you're going to falter. And you're going to deny me three times.
Yeah.
He said, "Man, not me." Mm-hmm. See, he was self-confident. Mm-hmm. And then later on through the night, he said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." Huh? You see? And he did. And the Bible says, as soon as he did, he looked over and saw Jesus. He was so used to Jesus coming to the rescue immediately. But Jesus was now in submission to the will of the Father. He knew that he must go to the cross. "That's for this cause came I into the world, to give my life a ransom for many." He knew that. He knew that it was time. And it couldn't happen until the time that was set. See, many times they tried to destroy him, and he said, "My hour is not yet come." And he eluded them right through the midst of them many days when they were trying to kill him ahead of time. See, but it couldn't happen until the exact time, and Jesus knew what that time was. The disciples didn't get it. They don't understand. What is he talking about, rising from the dead? What could he mean by that? See, they weren't getting it. We know you're the Messiah. We know you have all power. We've seen you heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, walk on water. We know you're the Messiah. Get on with the kingdom, Jesus. And then they didn't understand that cross part where he had to pay the bill for your sin and mine. They didn't get that. We don't understand that. It doesn't fit into the scenario of what we're looking for. We're looking for a powerful Messiah that's going to overthrow the government and give Israel back the power that she had and the prowess that she had at one time. See? And they will. That's still going to happen. But Jesus knew it wasn't going to happen right then. He had to pay the bill for your sin and for mine and for all of mankind throughout all eternity first. So what we must consider is that God always loved mankind, even after the fall of Adam. God didn't change. I always like to tell you that. One thing about God, he's immutable. He does not change. And so when Adam changed and altered all of the human family because he sinned willfully, God didn't change. Remember that. That's easy for me. Because God cannot change. He doesn't change. Nothing to change. He's perfect. He's beautiful. He's awesome. He's magnificent. He's ominous. He's all powerful. Nothing to change. Man changed, but he didn't change. He loved Adam. That's why he made him in the first place. Made him in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See, and he blessed them and gave them everything that he made. And that never changed. When Adam sinned, God didn't change. So that means he loves you and me.
Yes, he does.
Because God is love. We looked at this a few lessons back. It says in 1 John 4, 18, I think in verses 8 and 18, God is love.
Yes,
so he didn't change. That's one thing you have to know. So we must consider that God has always, that's why this statement says this, number one, loved mankind even after the fall of Adam.
Thank you.
And has always shown mercy even from the very beginning, because it is his nature to love us.
Yes, it is.
Not because he is content with our faults, but because of his great mercy.
Yes.
We are, when we acknowledge him, it is his choice to teach us how to walk in the light of the truth.
Follow.
That's what you got to realize. That's why it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, right? And he will direct your path.
Yes.
So if you can start to do that, church, we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning, that's why I told you there'll be more later.
Yeah.
In all your ways acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Right. You know what does that mean? What happens when I'm sinning? In all your ways acknowledge him.
Right.
You say, well, can I do it when I'm lying or when I'm sinning? Yes, you can. Stop lying. Acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Confess the sin.
That's right.
We're going to see that in a minute. But if you acknowledge him in all your ways,
mm-hmm.
he said, I'm going to give you what you need to walk in the light of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So just because God has chosen us to reveal his love and to receive his blessings of safety, which he has promised not only to us only, but also for our seed. Think about that.
Mama.
He didn't just promise it to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We are the seed of a generation who was before us.
Yes, we are.
Who prayed for us, who loved us, who stuffed 3 sixes down our throat if we needed it, who stuffed castor oil down there if we needed it, who whooped our butts if we needed it.
Thank you, Dad.
Who gave us discipline, bought us up because we needed it.
Yeah.
Who put us on lockdown in the house because we needed it.
Yeah.
Who regulated who we hung out with if we needed it.
Yeah.
We had parental discipline, didn't we?
We did.
You know what? I bet you they spent some time in prayer praying for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had to, because they were acknowledging God in their ways. So we didn't just happen to be those who later, some of us didn't come back to the Lord until later on.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get out there and understand that what we did was not going to help us. We need the Lord in our lives.
Amen.
So realize that just because God allowed it, he's also going to bless your seed. We must also realize that since we are the recipients of this measure of grace, we must also be willing to forward the grace and the mercy to others.
Mama.
Remember that. You're not the only ones who need grace. It doesn't stop with you. Somebody else needs it.
Yes.
God loves them too.
Amen.
Not just you. He also loves those he also loves, even though they are not aware of his blessings and his provision. That means people outside the church, even people in the church. I know folks in the church, people hate on them. Because you're just weird. You ain't right. You got stuff wrong with you. Instead of embracing you and showing you God's mercy, we ostracize you.
Yes.
Gotta stop it.
Yeah. Amen.
We have to stop it.
Amen.
If don't nobody tell you, you're not gonna think about it. It's kind of like the castor oil and the 3 sixes. Somebody has to say, hey, look, people don't have to be like you to be right, do they?
That's right.
It's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because people not like me, oh, they're a little strange. But maybe you might be strange to somebody.
Yeah.
It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and so think about it. We're all in this on mercy.
Yes, we are.
So we want to afford mercy and grace to somebody else.
Yes.
See, I could have a longer fuse with you because maybe you're a little different.
Wow.
Maybe you're a little odd. Maybe you do stuff I don't like, or you haven't come as far as I have.
Yes. All right.
But you're still on the path.
That's right.
So that's what I always tell people. You don't get to pick your brothers and sisters.
That's right.
If you did, you probably would have picked somebody else than the folk who might have been born. But if they're born to you, there they are, period. Usually that first child, when the second one comes home, is like, who is this stranger coming in here? Busting up the peace around here. Yeah. Some of y'all might be only children, so you may not understand what I'm saying. But if you have multiple kids in a household, or every time one comes in, eventually it gets better if you start to have more than two. You know, and the older ones say, yeah, here's another one, whatever, and they go on. But it's not easy sometimes. Sometimes an only child is a difficult one to raise and to have them to think right. But keep that in mind. Evangelism is giving other people the same grace and the same mercy God has given you.
Yes.
That's all it is sharing his goodness with somebody else. Now, I want you to see this quickly. Our time's almost gone. In 1 John, you have to see this. And John is telling us some things here where he includes himself, which is a great thing. This is one thing I love about the scriptures. And these things write we unto you, speaking for the apostles who are delivering the New Testament to the church, that your joy may be full. I want you to have fullness of joy. I don't want you to be sitting around wondering, oh, am I fitting in? No, you are fitting in. I want you to have fullness of joy. God loves you just like you are. And we're writing this to you so you can have full joy. This then is the message that we have heard of him. In other words, we're giving you this straight from the Lord. And declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Remember we talked about that light and darkness thing last week? That God has given the light authority over the darkness. He did it at the very beginning in the scheme of the world when he made it. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All the darkness that we continue to walk in, basically, we have to acknowledge it. That's why it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
And what's going to happen is the light is going to come in and lighten up that dark stuff in your life, and it'll go away.
Right.
Why? Because the light has more power and more authority than the darkness. Notice what it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you let his philosophy start to come into your life, the dark stuff in your life will go away.
Yes.
You know what? It may not happen in one day. This is where I want. This is where it's going to get technical here now. It doesn't happen in one day. That's why we come to church. We need to hear the word. We need to be prompted to understand God's still working on you.
Amen.
You know this table here? It says here on the front of here, this do in remembrance of me as often as you do this. And you do show forth my death until I come. It's the constant memory of Jesus who died for you. You need to be reminded of it. So do I all the time. And what happens, we'll be like war. Y'all don't know about this, some of y'all young folk. They say, we're slipping into darkness. When I heard my mother say, y'all know all about that, right? But when you're slipping in the dark, you need to slip on back into the church and let some light get on that darkness.
Amen.
So it can go away. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
God will bring you into the light. When you come into the light, walk in the light of the Lord, as the psalmist says, he's going to continue to expose dark things about your life, and he'll fix it. He has to fix it. I don't know the solution. Like I said this morning, if I could just pull out a wand and strike each one of you with it, and you'd be made perfect, bam. You know what? I hit myself first, and then I start all through the room hitting everybody else. It doesn't work like that. We got to be fed constantly. That's why this fellowship is important. Notice what that first verse said, that if we walk... He says here, in these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship, that's what the church is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another.
Amen.
And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, in other words, the stuff we learn, God's word is light.
Mm-hmm.
It is hope. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, that's the church, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. In other words, nothing going on in your life that you haven't been covered for. And when we come here, we remember the stuff that's still going on. Lord, I still got an issue with this. I got an issue with that, whatever it is. That's why he says, goes on down, notice this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Yes.
And the truth is not in us. So who in here has become perfect already?
I don't
see anybody. Nobody in here has become perfect yet. Not me. We're praying on it. I'd like to be. You know what? I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because God gave his son to cover me.
Yes.
So I'm covered.
Amen.
I'm under his grace. I'm not going to, and it troubles me that I can't tell you, oh, I'm perfect now. It troubles me. It ought to trouble you because God says confess it. Notice what he says next. He says if we confess our sins, this is John including himself, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing is a continual process. Keeps on going on. You know when it'll stop? When the trumpet sounds.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Only when the trumpet sounds.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when God said, that's it, I'm done, church, come on up.
That's it.
Now it's time for me to do judgment with the people who don't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a short time. He'll make a short work of it, one writer says. See, it'll be the day of vengeance of our God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be around for that. You won't if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you, accepts you just like you are. You will be a project of his until the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
See, but you're getting better. How many can look back and say, you know what, I'm better than I used to be? How many can do that? See, I think we all can. I'm getting better. I'm not as bad as I used to be. But I'm not what I need to be, and I'm not what I want to be. Not yet. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So we know that his word basically tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must come to understand, now this is the last point, and I'll take a minute with this and we'll be done. We must come to understand that the battlefield of salvation. We sing that I'm on the battlefield all the time, right? But we have to understand, what is the battlefield? How is there a battlefield in my life? It is constantly being fought day and night, and it's either being won or lost. Did you know that? You're on the battlefield all the time. It's constantly being fought day or night. It's either being won or lost. Every decision we make based on if we choose, notice this, to obey God's word and his spirit or do whatever we want instead. That's where the battlefield is. Are you doing what God said, what the spirit said, or are you doing what you want to do? No matter how we feel about it. Now this is hard, and this is the point I want you to think about and meditate on the rest of the day, maybe the rest of the week. Our fallen human emotions must not be allowed to dictate our actions.
Amen.
Now we think, oh, if I ain't feeling it, then I'm not obligated. No, yes you are.
You are.
If God said it, then you're obligated.
That's right.
Yes.
You can't say, well, I ain't feeling it. Mm. I had somebody ask me this. You mean to tell me it says, if it says love my enemy, that's what I asked them. If it says love your enemy, mm-hmm. and somebody's not your enemy, you don't love them, you don't treat them right, what kind of love is this? Mm. Okay, you know what? Well, I'm not feeling it. Well, you don't have to be feeling it. It's not a matter of are you feeling it. It's are you doing what God told you to do?
Amen.
Well, I'll be faking it then. Well, fake it till you make it. You got to fake it till you make it.
Right.
You know, because I don't feel it, it's not an excuse for me not to do it.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
You don't have to feel it.
Amen.
You don't have to. Now, that's a hard lesson. You don't hear this too much, do you? But you don't have to. Suppose you ain't feeling it. I ain't feeling it. Well, God said do it. He ain't going to change. Who's going to change? He doesn't change, right? So if I got an enemy and he said, if he's hungry, give him meat. I have to ignore the fact that you are my enemy. You tried to dog me. You did me wrong. But I'm going to do what God said because it's right.
That's right.
I'm going to come and help you.
Yes.
You ain't got to feel it. Who told you had to feel it? You don't have to feel it. If you wait till you feel it, it's not going to get done. You're going to be in constant disobedience because I ain't feeling it. It don't make no difference if you're feeling it. Where does that come in? Agape love is love that does what a person needs, doesn't have to feel it. You think I was all cozy and wonderful, that's why God saved me. No. You were a total wretch out of control.
Right.
Doing fallen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Adding to other people's misery with the way you lived.
Yep.
And I loved you anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Don't have to feel it. It's not up to you to feel what God said. If God said don't lie, say the truth, even if it hurts. You know why we lie? Because we don't like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is going to damage my character or make people know that I'm a wretch and I haven't done what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? So we don't do it. We just lie. Or we gossip or whatever it is. Instead of doing what God told you to do. You know what? If you had to tell the truth all the time, some stuff you wouldn't do. I'm not going to do it because I'd have to lie and say I ain't doing that.
All right.
So it doesn't make any difference if you feel it. It's not about how you feel. You know what? Our feelings are just as fallen as every the other parts of us.
Right. Amen.
So we can't make decisions based on the thing to choose what your God's word. This is the battlefield right here. Do I do what God says or keep doing it my way?
That's right.
See that? God knows if you're faking it or not, and that's okay. If he told you do it, do it. Don't make any difference how you feel.
That's right.
Go out of the box. I'm trying to encourage you. Get out of the box. Everybody's in the box and nobody tells you how to get out of it.
All right, now.
You get out of it by going beyond what you feel and do what God said.
Right.
You know what? He's going to reward you. This is the part you don't ever learn. Because when you start doing it, then God's going to help you to feel right about
it. Amen.
It may not be instantaneous. You may have to do it for a while. But eventually you go, you know what? That's right. And you'll start to see the power of God kick into the situation when you start to do what he said. No matter how you feel about it, our fallen human emotions must not be allowed to dictate our actions, but our obedience to the word of God must be put into effect no matter how our fallen emotions react to the matters of life. Then and only then can we experience the most safety inside the promises of God. See, when you start doing it, God will show you something you haven't ever seen before. I love you. You're doing what I said. I'm going to bless you in a way you don't even know. And that's how you get from where you were to where you're going and where you're going to be. God loves you. He's going to empower you to do it. You have to say no to the flesh.
Yes.
No to the world. No to the devil.
Amen.
Yes to God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. No matter what, if you don't do it today, I'm not saying this to put any guilt trip on anybody. I'm just encouraging you, try it.
Yes.
Try it today.
Amen.
Pick the most difficult thing that you have to deal with. The most difficult relationship you have in your life that's going on. Say, I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to begin to pray for those who despitefully misuse me.
Yes.
And abuse me and see what happens. See, what you're going to find out, there's some power in that. There's some power you don't know about. And it'll help you be a better man and woman for God. It will. It'll help you because you'll say, okay, I can excuse this thing here now. And I'm doing what God said. And his spirit is going to empower you in a way you have never experienced. You might even see the person change. The one that's a trouble to you. You may see them change. You will probably see them change. If you start doing the God honoring and response.
Yes.
And that's where the battlefield is. How do I maintain? We say we're on the battlefield, but if you're losing all the time, what good is that doing you? I'm trying to show you how to win on the battlefield.
Yes.
So I'm going to do it God's way. I don't care what anybody says.
Yes. Right.
I don't care how I feel about it. I don't have to be feeling it. I'm just going to do it and get it done.
Yeah.
Try it and see. That's why stuff like this, and I'm going to shut up after this. When the Lord says, prove me now in this and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That you won't have room to receive it.
Amen.
You know what he's talking about? Tithing. Mm-hmm. Pay a tithe. Give God a tithe and watch and see. Won't he do what he said?
Oh, yes, he will.
Some people in here know about that.
Yeah.
You know, when you open up your finances and you do what God said, oh, I ain't feeling it, boy. You know, it's hard to separate this $100 out of this $1,000 or this $10 out of this $100.
Mm-hmm.
Try God on it.
Yeah.
Try him on it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do it and see when I open up the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
He has a promise with it. And pour you out a blessing, you won't even have room to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Prove me now. God's one of the few times in the scripture, God says, prove me. Try me out on this. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven.
Yes, it will.
Try him. You know what? You may not have seen the windows of heaven open because you have kept back from God what he asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it. And y'all know I don't talk a lot about offerings and all that. But I do know you cannot be God-giving.
No way.
And that's his program.
Right.
If he said do it, try it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And see. He said prove me and see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can do it on any other thing he told you to do.
Right.
Try it on anything that he told you to do. But that's one that has a promise with it right there. So anyway, we're going to go right ahead. I hope you did get a good word from the message today. We're going to offer an invitation to discipleship at this time. And that's why we're really here, is to make disciples. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. We want to teach you, call you to be a member of his church. And he loves you just like you are. He gave his son for you, raised him out of the grave. He's the only person who has defeated the grave. No one else has. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm cruising toward the grave and I'm looking, I know, on the other side. He'll be there. And he got out. He has the answer. You know, I think my oldest brother, I mentioned, he hit 70 today.
Mm.
Like, boy, my brother is 70. He used to be just a few years old. It didn't seem like so much when I was a kid, but 70.
Mm.
We have some people here older than 70 in our congregation.
Yes, we do.
God has blessed them.
Yes.
Amen. We thank them for that. I have an aunt that's 95. She'll be 96 in a couple of months. And she came to visit us. And she gave praise to the Lord right over here, sitting, standing over here. People like that, God promises us, and we need to be ready because the times are changing right now. So it's a bad time in the world in one sense, only because stuff people are asking me about this shirt here. And this is a symbol that's on the back of a dollar bill. Mm-hmm. And I have it on my t-shirt. Y'all say, oh, the pastor's taking off his shirt. I had it open earlier. I just closed it. But this is on the back of every dollar bill in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Been on there for a while. And it's kind of evil. Some people say, oh, you got that evil thing on your shirt. I said, I just did it to highlight the fact that this is evil.
Yes.
People are worshiping money.
Yes.
It says, Novus Ordo Seclorum. Look on the dollar bill if you want to look at it. You look at any one in your pocket. It'll say that on Novus Ordo Seclorum. That's this here. That means New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that people have been planning a New World Order for a long time. They think they're going to master everything and do everything without God.
Yep.
And money is going to be our God that we worship. The Antichrist is going to rise and deceive the world. It's coming up now. They've been planning it for a while. That's why it's on the dollar bill. I don't approve of this or think it's a good thing.
Yes.
But it is happening. And I've been telling y'all about stuff that's happening. The church needs to be aware of it.
Yeah.
We need to be aware. So we
wake
know.
Up.
Yeah, because this stuff is happening. It's happening right before your eyes. Everything that I see. See, the thing with the Trump thing, we won't talk about that again today. But God puts people in place in order to bring his will to pass ultimately. You know what? He is going to win, and so are
yes,
you.
Yes, he wins.
Child. He wins. There's going to be a new world. God said, I looked and I saw the heavens and the earth passed away. And there was no, they were rolled up like a scroll. And there was no place found for them. And there was no more sea.
Mm-hmm.
He said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
See, and where righteousness dwells forever and ever. That's coming down. The new Jerusalem coming from heaven, from God.
Yeah.
And people will prepare to those who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we invite you right now, let us all stand just for this period here. If you're here today and you're not saved, we want to make sure you know today before you leave here that you are saved. God loves you just like you are. He gave his son that whosoever believes in him, that includes you, he said, should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his son Jesus for you. And if you believe him today, come right now. We'd love to receive you into the church. Doesn't make any difference how old you are, how young you are. You can come at this time. We're here for you, and we're dedicated to teaching God's word. Amen. We want you to be a part of the church. Amen. If you're already saved and you're in the church, you believe the gospel already, and you have been saved and baptized, and would like St. Timothy to be your church home, we invite you to come right now. This is a good place to be, not because we're here, per se, but because God has called us here for such a time as this. Amen. We are dedicated to teaching the word. So we want you to come. We invite you right now. We give you opportunity to come today. Amen. Come right now and make it known that you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. That's our mission, is to make sure everybody is saved. Want you covered by his grace, covered by his mercy. Amen. Amen. So we have done as God commands. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we do hope that you got a blessing from the word today. Amen. And at this time, we're going to go ahead. Want to thank God for our visitors who are here. Thank God for Dr. Mitchell. He's not really a visitor. He's here all the time. I want to thank God for Kenya and her family who are here with us today. Such a blessing to have you all here with us. Hope this won't be your last time. We invite you to come as often as you can. Amen. And let this be your church home. We want to invite you once again personally to embrace St. Timothy as we embrace you. Amen. Amen. If anyone would like to have any words, visitors who are here, we'll give you opportunity if there's anything you'd like to say before we hear the benediction. Amen. You don't have to say anything, but if you'd like to, we'll give you that opportunity. Amen. All right, so we're going to... Amen. 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 We thank God for having you, my sister. We're happy you made it. I hope you'll come again on next week, Lord's will. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the conviction of your spirit, and we ask you to bless us with more obedience, more understanding. Bless us as a church, Lord. We love to talk about your word and think about the deep things that you have said. So as we go down from this place, Lord, let your spirit be with us, oh God. Let him go and guide and lead and protect us as we go out. We ask special grace for the ones who are hospitalized and those who are unable to be here today. Lord, that you would bless them wherever they are. And we ask you to sanctify them in their minds and in their hearts, that they might have that feeling of peace and comfort that only comes from you. Now, as we go down from this place and travel to our various destinations, we pray that you let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and that you let your face shine upon us, O God, until the next time that we come together. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen. 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 Give God a hand, praise. Amen. Amen.